Well, glory to God. It's another glorious day. Good to have all of you with us in the church. So, Matt shared last week kind of the beginning of the Christmas story. We're going to go on with that today. So, we looked last week at the prophecies leading up to the birth of Christ, the foretelling, basically, of the birth of Jesus and the Messiah coming, so that the Jews now knew, or they knew from beginning of time that Christ would be born, that Jesus would be the Messiah. Then they were looking for the Messiah, but they just didn't believe how he came. They were looking for something spectacular, something really awesome, and that's really what it is. But today we're going to look at four different people who had a vital role leading up to the birth of Christ and the decisions that they made. If they had made the wrong decision, if they had chosen wrong, things wouldn't have happened the way they did. I've entitled it today as they believed God, as the title of our lesson today. And so we're going to be mostly in Luke chapter 1, but I want to begin today in Matthew 1. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for this season, just a joyful season of love and hope and joy. And Lord, I ask that you'll give us eyes to see those in need, Father, that we can be helpful to those who are not able to help. Father, we just give us ears to hear, Lord, what you're saying. And Lord, give us feet and hands to respond to what you need done for the saints and for the world in this Christmas season. So Father, just guide my thoughts, Lord, that I'll not say anything contrary to what you want, but Lord, that your will be done in all we do here. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the four people that I want to talk about today are Zechariah, Elizabeth, Mary, and Joseph. They all, if you think about the life that they were leading and the age that they were and what went on, it looked like it was totally impossible what God was doing to get a Christ child here. So let's begin in Matthew. We were in actually looking at this in Sunday school this morning as well, and Matthew and Luke are really the only two Gospels that tell anything about the birth of Christ. Some of the other two Gospels begin after his birth and in his ministry, and I had to go back to Matthew to find anything on Joseph, and because when you look at this decision that he had to make, so here was the girl that he was pledged to be married to. She was a virgin and she was pregnant. And she hadn't been with anybody. They hadn't been together. So Joseph was looking for a way to, he was thinking, I'm going to divorce her quietly and so that she doesn't become a a public obstacle. And so that was his plan, was to end the engagement and get it done. So what if he had done that? What if he had chosen the wrong thing here? But an angel came to him. Let's begin in 1 of Matthew, verse 18. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So, again, that would have been the wrong choice, wouldn't it? It would have been awful. It says, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. And Jesus, it says, is the Greek form of Joshua, which means the Lord saves. So the name Jesus means the Lord saves. That's why God called him Jesus. If I can find where I stopped. Because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. And Emmanuel, or that is actually taken from Isaiah 7:14, and that's one of the verses that Matt covered last week. He covered some of the prophecy from Isaiah. And so that's how that all took place. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So there you have a little bit of an idea. The struggle that Joseph had. And I can't imagine what I would do today if something like that happened to me. First of all, and he probably hadn't seen an angel before either, but I've never seen an angel. And so if one came to me, I would probably be scared like Mary was. And we're going to see, we're going to look at Mary. Let me see where I'm at. Luke 1. So Matt went through 26 or through 25 last week. So we're going to begin in 26 in Luke. And this is actually where the angel speaks to Mary. So let's begin and just go in 26 on. In the sixth month. And so I read this in several versions this week as I was trying to prepare for today. And I have a Joyce Meyer's Bible that... Is that you or me, Julie? Oh, it's for... Okay. All right. I can hear a whine going on. What the 6 month there means is it's in the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, so that's what it's talking about here in the 6 month. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." I actually thought about bringing my Amplified along and reading it in the Amplified this morning. But it's just, I understand and communicate better with the NIV, so I just kept it and brought it instead of switching this morning. But, so... There's a whole line of girls here about the age that Mary would have been. Can you imagine getting a greeting like that? Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. What's this going to be? What are they talking about? It says Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. If you think about what was going on and what's happening and how old she was, like Matt said last week, she was probably around 15 or 16 years old, very young. But we're going to find that Mary, in her young age, had a lot of wisdom and knowledge of God. She was a humble person who was willing to submit to authority. And so without those traits, she wouldn't have been the right person. If she didn't have the traits and the characteristics that she had, if she did not have the upbringing that she had, what would her choice have been? As she becomes pregnant and she's never been with a man, who's going to believe her that the Holy Spirit did this? Who's going to believe that? And so she's got some, she's kind of troubled. She doesn't know what she's going to do either. She wondered, it says, at the greeting and what kind it might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. And how shall this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." It will be called holy, my Bible says in the footnotes. So this is going to be someone born who is holy, Son of God, and Mary needs to make a choice. And so she said, "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." And how many times have we heard that? Nothing is impossible with God. So just as we in our lives a lot of times have to make a decision on whether we believe this is going to be possible or not when God gives us something to do and we want to argue with him and say, "I can't do that." Well, when I was a young person starting in my trade, I was working for a plumber and I was just getting started, and he asked me to do something and I said, "I can't." He looked at me and he said, "How do you know you can't? Have you ever tried?" I said, "No." We said, "Don't ever say can't until you've tried it." So I learned a valuable lesson that day. You can. All things are possible with God. And so Mary had to make a decision here. And she said in verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. So again, she could have made the wrong decision here. Imagine in a world like we have today, with it's so easy to get rid of a pregnancy that's unwanted, and possibly I can't imagine her wanting this pregnancy because she's a virgin. She wants to be a virgin when she gets married. And so what kind of a person would it be that would be able to say that, would be able to make that decision? It had to be a young woman who was knowledgeable of the Lord, to know that she was going to be carrying the Messiah, that she was going to be letting the baby grow inside of her that was going to be the Savior of the world. And so she said, "I am the Lord's servant." So this shows that she had that quality of humility, being a humble person, a person willing to submit to authority and to do what God wanted her to do. And so many times in life today, we have decisions to make that some of it looks impossible. It looks like there's no way that could happen. And we have to be willing to listen to God believe him. And that's why I titled it today, They Believed God, because all four of these people had a really, really important decision to make if they hadn't believed God, if they hadn't had the faith and the courage to believe God and go on with what was happening, then the birth of Christ would have had to be somebody else. It would have had to be plan B. God's plan always works. And so if we're willing to walk in his plan, to know his plan and walk in his plan, it will make our day go much better. So now we're going to be looking at, so Mary goes on then to visit with Zechariah and Elizabeth. And we're going to be looking here at Mary's, let's just begin with it. Mary's song, I love this, and I've used this before, Mary's song and how she rejoiced when she figured out what was going on. And it says, at that time, Mary, so just after the angel left her and she told her that she would be the Lord's servant, may it be to me as you have said, then it says she got up and she got ready and hurried to the town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. So with haste she went. One of the other virgins said she went with haste. She hurried and went. She wanted to see her Aunt Elizabeth. She wanted to spend some time with her, because she obviously wanted to share what was going on with somebody. She probably knew that Elizabeth was also a godly woman, someone who loved the Lord and was trying to do his will. So she went there to their home, and when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, says the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." So, Mary hadn't said anything to Elizabeth at all. She just greeted her. And Elizabeth takes off, "Blessed are you among women." So she already knew that Mary was holding the Christ child, because at that point she was filled with the Spirit and the Spirit told her that. So she began then to exclaim and to prophesy over the child and tell Mary how blessed she was. And any of you who've carried children in your womb know that sometimes they kick and punch and make all kinds of movement. So there was something different that happened to Elizabeth when she heard Mary's voice. It says the baby leaped. He leaped in my womb. There's not enough room to leap, is there? That would take some doing. But she felt that extra movement that John was doing in her womb. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." And Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. So She went there expecting to stay and spend some time with her aunt. Spent 3 months with her and then goes on back home. So she's approximately 3 months pregnant now, and we're going to go on then in the rest of chapter 1 and look at the birth of John and then Zechariah's song. So or Zechariah's song is actually a prophecy. I don't know. I've often, when I'm reading the Psalms or things like Mary's song or Zechariah's song here, I've often wanted to just sing them. Just wondered how did it sound as a song? Because I have found that it's easier for me to learn and memorize Scripture if I sing it. So a lot of the songs, you know, a lot of the songs that we sing are Scripture. They're taken right out of the Word of God. And those I can remember easily, but it's hard for me to go and just take a group of verses and memorize them. But if I put it to song, it's easy. It's easy to remember it. It's easy to call it back to my mind. And so that's why Mary's and Zechariah's were put to song. And so, okay, so Lord, I'm actually just still in. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. So it was the custom with the children of Israel at this time, with the Jewish people. When the child was 8 years old, they took him back to the temple to be dedicated to the Lord and to be circumcised. And normally, they named the first son after the father. And you'll see a lot of families that you associate with that have James the first and James the second, or James and Junior and Jim. They'll all, every firstborn will be the same name in a family, and I've seen that happen. So they're just taking this tradition from the Word of God and using it today. But it says, but his mother spoke up and said, "No, he's to be called John." They said to her, "There's no one among your relatives who has that name." So it wasn't tradition. It wasn't something that they did at that time. But if you recall, when they were told that they would be bearing and having the forerunner of Jesus, the angel told both of them that his name would be John, and that's why Zechariah couldn't speak for the 9 months that she was pregnant, because he didn't believe it. He said, "How can this happen when I'm already old? My wife's past childbearing. She can't have a son." He was speechless then from then for the 9 months until John was born, and because he said, what sign can you give me that this can happen? And so that was the sign that that God gave to Zechariah. He said, "We won't be able to talk anymore until he's born." So they went and wrote on a tablet or sign that says to Zechariah. I'll just read. They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. And he asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." It's not going to be Zechariah, it's John. And what happens here when he wrote that down? It says, "Immediately his mouth was open and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God." The neighbors were all filled with awe. throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. So apparently when you went for a dedication, the neighbors went with you too. It wasn't just the family. And I've noticed that families do that today. If somebody's going to be, if you have a baby that you're going to dedicate to the Lord, you invite everybody of your family to come with you. Moms and dads, mother-in-laws, father-in-laws, uncles and aunts to learn how to talk. They all come along. But here, they brought their neighbors along with them too. So the neighbors came along. It says when they were really in awe. And it says throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all this that's happened with Zechariah and Elizabeth. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. So the neighbors all knew how old they were. They all knew that this was obviously a miracle from God, because they were both past childbearing years. It seemed impossible that they could have a baby. It seemed impossible. But both of them, when the angel told them, accepted it and went through their lives knowing that the son born to them, that this John that was prescribed to them, was going to be an awesome person. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord," he said, "the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn," and a horn means strength. "He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." So there's basically just three sentences in that whole prophecy. There's not really a stopping place in the middle, but there's a lot going on here. So Zechariah is saying the child that we gave birth to is going to be preparing the way for the Messiah, preparing the way for the salvation of Israel, for the salvation of all their people there. So they were used to having to go to the temple to sacrifice when they sinned to get forgiveness. They were used to have to take and do a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. And now they knew that this person that was coming, that Mary was going to have, this baby Jesus, was going to be the Savior of the world. And so you have to look at the strength of all four of these people. You have to look at the characteristics of... So they were all four men and women who knew the Word, who knew God. They had grown up in godly homes and they knew who Jesus was. They knew who the Messiah was or was going to be. They just didn't know how it was going to happen, how he was going to come. They knew it was prophesied that it was going to happen, but they had no idea that they were going to be a part of it until God spoke to them, until God sent an angel to them, to a messenger to tell them what he's doing. I'm going to stop there today because Matt wants to do the Christmas story. next week. It's just this time of year is just so fun. There's just so much from the scripture that we don't really look at all the time. And I just as I was preparing for today, the Lord just showed me how the qualities of these four people were just so extreme. They were all humble people, willing to submit to authority. They just had the characteristics that God was looking for, and the characteristics that He's looking for in us today. So if you get a chance and you want to just go back through and then just read all about all of these different people, it's just a great story. It's a good time. So just be thinking about, what would I have done had I been in that situation? Do I have enough of Jesus in me that I would have said, "Yes, Lord, I want to be part of that"? Or would I have been afraid? Said, "I can't handle that. I can't do that." Well, we know from Scripture that all things are possible through Jesus Christ. We know that nothing is impossible with Him. And so we have to believe as they did. These four of these people, they believed God. So God was able to use them in this mighty way. So if there are any needs for prayer today, I do want to just say that if you've never been through the journey to Bethlehem at Neil and Kelly's, plan on doing that this evening. It looks like the rain will stop by then, I hope. We all know that it's a miserable time there if it's raining. So just pray that it does stop for tonight. Is it 4 o'clock tonight starts? 4 to 7. So you can come anytime during that time. Go to the Northmore, the old school parking lot there. I think that's right, isn't it? Or are they doing the new school? The old school parking lot. And vans will bring you to Neil and Kelly's because they do not have parking there. They don't have room for parking. And it's just, if you've never been through it, and some of the teens in class this morning said they had never been through it, so I'd love for you to see it. It's just really neat to see the actual, what went on in Bethlehem that night. It's pretty cool, and it just kind of brings it alive with the angels and the shepherds and the innkeepers. They're all there. They'll all be there just to take you through that scenario. So if you can make time for that tonight, that would be awesome. And there's also going to be soup, sandwiches, cookies, hot chocolate and stuff, to just a time to relax and enjoy a family time together. Any needs for prayer? Well, we'll be here to pray with you. If there's anybody who's never accepted the Lord, you'd like to do that this morning, we would love to help you with that as well. So it's your time. Guys, go ahead.